Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
So, there is a really profound conversation that takes place between Jesus and a guy by the name of Nicodemus. You don't need to go there now, but it's found in John chapter 3. And basically, what is going on here is Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus how to enter into the kingdom of God. What you need to understand about Nicodemus is that he is a religious expert in the Old Testament. He knows everything it takes to follow God, all of the commands in the Old Testament. Nicodemus is well-versed. He spent his life in the synagogue. He has sections, entire sections, if not the entire Old Testament memorized. He follows the sacrificial laws and all of the system of the Old Testament. So he knows essentially what there is to know in regards to the Old Testament. And Jesus says this to him. He says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus cannot wrap his mind around that statement and that truth. He literally cannot figure out what Jesus is saying. Right? Because Jesus is saying, listen, this is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit when somebody is born again into the kingdom of God. You see, Nicodemus's frame of reference is follow the religious code, obey the commandments in the Old Testament, right? Go through all of the sacrificial system. Right? If you're a male, you've got to be circumcised on the eighth day in order to be a Jew. Right? Being Jewish means that you're in and you follow the law. That's what makes you acceptable to God. And he cannot grasp what Jesus is saying to him. Even there's a moment where Jesus goes, aren't you a teacher of the law? And yet you don't understand what I'm talking about here? He couldn't get there. We are not, many people in this room, many people joining online are not that different from Nicodemus. Struggling to wrap your mind around what Jesus is talking about, right? There are many people outside the church, there are many people inside the church who struggle to understand what Jesus is saying when he talks about being born again. Right? And so you may believe that actually the way to be accepted by God is to be a good person. You may believe that the way to be accepted by God is to go to church, is to give money to good causes, is to serve in ministry, maybe even go around the world and build wells and pass food out. Maybe you believe doing good things and resisting bad things, this is how you are made acceptable to God, and that's what welcomes you into the kingdom of God. And yet, when you hear other people talking about things like the Holy Spirit living inside of them, you're going, what? What are you talking about, the Holy Spirit living inside of you? When you hear other people, right, talking about sensing God leading them in their lives, you're going, when they describe life change that doesn't come through hard work and life hacks and better discipline, you're sitting there going, I don't even have a reference point for that. I don't know what you're talking about. Right? And you're wondering, right, when you hear other people talk about that in your small group, when you hear other people talk about that, maybe on Sunday mornings or from the stage or whatever, maybe in conversation at a coffee shop, whatever it might be, when you hear people talk about that and you feel lost, you're wondering if you're missing something. You're going, am I just overlooking, am I missing something? And the answer is, yes, you are. Not only are you missing something, I would go so far to say you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing the whole thing. You're missing everything. But I want to tell you, you don't have to. You don't have to miss everything. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be without a reference point as you hear other people talking about this, sharing the experience that they're having in walking with God. What I want to do is I want to invite you to stick with me over the next few minutes, and we're going to unpack and we're going to talk about all of this together. And if you do, and if you simply look to the Holy Spirit and you ask Him to open your heart and to open your mind and to open your ears to His work in your life, God will change your life. That's where we're going this morning. That's the direction. So if you brought a Bible, as Pastor Matt mentioned, if you'll open up to Romans chapter 3, if you've got an old analog version paper like me, or if you've got it on your phone, you can dibble-dap over there. If you're joining online, I actually think if you're on our online campus, there is a tab where the scriptures are right there, and you can open it up to that as well. But Romans 3 is where we're going to be. While you're going there, my name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. Really glad every one of you have joined us today, and you're with us. And so while you're here, I do want to take a moment and just welcome everybody that's joining us at Lighthouse Online. If you're here in Hancock County, if you're somewhere further away, we're really glad that you're with us here today. And then I do want to welcome all of our first-time guests who are here in the house with us. Thanks for kind of taking a risk and joining us this morning. I hope it's been a really meaningful experience so far. And Lighthouse family, I'm wondering, can we take a moment and welcome all of our guests in Lighthouse Online together and let them know that we're glad you're here today? We know, especially if you're newer, like that's a risk to come into a building and a group of people. You're like, what do they do in there? What do they need that gray warehouse for anyways? Right? And so we're really glad that you're with us. Okay, we're going to read Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21. We've been in Romans for the last 6 weeks in this series called Believe, How Encountering Truth Can Change Your Life. And we're continuing right on along with this. And this is what verse 21 says. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, and He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there's only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. All right, before we get in and start explaining this, I do want to take a moment and pray together. So let's do that. Lord, we recognize that You are the one who leads us into understanding truth. We would ask You to do that this morning. Would You grant us the ability to cut through, for some of us in this room and some of us online, would You give us the ability to cut through perhaps months, years, even decades of religious underpinnings and actually let the truth of the gospel come through with its power and its freshness and its ability to bring new life forever for every person who will believe. Bring us to that place today, we pray. And we ask these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so here's what Paul is doing in Romans chapter 3. Paul is giving a fairly detailed explanation about what Jesus talked with Nicodemus about. Paul is explaining what happens when a person is born again. He's unpacking that for us to understand. He's answering the question, how is a person saved? How is a person made acceptable to God, right? That's the core question that's being dealt with right here. And the conclusion, if you don't catch anything else, you have to hear this. The primary conclusion that Paul makes is that a person is made right with God only through faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. And so if you were looking forward to a nap, now you can jump in and do that. I hope you won't. But that's the main thing, that a person is made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, Paul talks about that. What he says is everyone starts out unrighteous. That's verse 23. For all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. We all begin unacceptable to God. That's your starting point. Did you know that? That's the beginning place for every single person. Unrighteous, unacceptable to God. Why? Because we are sinners by nature. It's simply something that's been handed down to us from generation to generation. We're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. We choose to engage in disobedience to God. We choose to live self-centered lives. We trend that way, and we choose it, right? We fall short. We fail to meet God's standard of sinlessness. That's important to understand. We fail to meet God's standard of sinlessness, living without sin. Now, Paul makes it clear, and there's something you have to understand, is that God is the judge of justice. God is the judge of justice. And what that means is that God maintains the standard by which penalties are handed out for breaking righteousness. That's the negative side of justice, right? He maintains the standard for handing out penalties for breaking righteousness. But there's a positive side to justice too. The positive side is that God keeps the standard, right? He maintains the standard for handing out blessings, for handing out advantages for keeping righteousness. Right? When we think of justice, we tend to only think of the negative, but there's also a positive side to justice, and that's the blessings and advantages that are handed out for keeping righteousness, right? There's not only penalties, but there's also blessings. What's the penalty for breaking righteousness? What's the penalty for sin? Death. Death, right? The way the Bible defines that is separation from God. The penalty for sin is separation from God, which always leads to death, because God is the author, the giver, the source of life. If you're separated from God, you're separated from life, which means now you're dead. So it's like, what do you do? If you fail to meet the standard, you now have the penalty for breaking righteousness, you're dead. What do you do? You want to know what the answer is? On your own, what do? Nothing. You don't do anything. You can't. You do the best that you can, and then you die. Seriously. Yeah, a lot of joy in that. Yeah, that's a lot of hope in that message. But that's what it looks like if it's you on your own, right? You are dead, and there's nothing you can do about it. So do the best you can with this life, and then wait for death to show up in your life. Because God is the God. God is the judge of justice. You have to know that. God executes justice every single time. And God is a God of mercy and grace. Both of those things are true at the same time. Now, for us, we think they're at war with each other, but that's not necessarily true. He's the God of justice, but he's also full of grace and mercy. I want you to look at Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Some of you should actually write this passage down and take some time to memorize this. And this is what it says. This is God speaking, by the way. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. This is God. This is God's desire. Some of you believe that God is in heaven just like laughing and enjoying at every person who enters into eternal death and makes their way to hell, going, and you're like, there's another one, yes. You know, you think that God is like enjoying, twirling his mustache, right? Rubbing his hands together, going, oh, I love it when people are separated from me forever. No. He takes no pleasure in that. But he's the judge of justice. That's the standard. And the standard must be met. Rather, what he would have you do is to turn from your evil ways. And so what God did, he knew the problem. It's right there in front of us. God ends up providing a solution. Not only a solution, the solution. The one solution. And the one solution for everybody, whether you're Jew, you're Gentile, right? You're American, you're not, it doesn't matter, right? Man, woman, child, doesn't matter. This is the solution for absolutely everybody. And the solution is this, Jesus Christ. God himself in the flesh lived a righteous life in a sinful world. That's the solution. The solution is Jesus Christ living a perfectly righteous life in a very, very sinful world. He did it. He maintained God's standard. In this world, in a world that opposed him, in a world that pressured him, in a world that hated him. And what? Now, God's a God of justice, right? He hands out the penalties for breaking righteousness, but he also hands out the advantages and the blessings for keeping righteousness, right? So what's the blessing for keeping and maintaining righteousness? Well, the blessing is this. A healthy, eternal relationship with God. That's the blessing. That's the advantage. When a person keeps and maintains righteousness, they maintain God's standard, the blessing is a healthy relationship with God. That's what Jesus had by very nature, being the Son of God, but that's also what he earned by living a perfectly righteous life in this world. He had it, and he earned this healthy relationship with God. But that begs the question, if that's what he earned for a perfectly righteous life, what did he get? What did he get? He got the penalty. He earned the blessing, but he got the penalty. He died the death of a traitor, right? He died that death. The Son of God, God himself, died on the cross. He got the penalty for breaking righteousness, though he's the only one who maintained righteousness. Why did he get the penalty? So that you don't have to. That's why. Jesus took the penalty for breaking righteousness so that you don't have to take the penalty. And in one move, in one swift, profound move, God both maintained justice and provided the blessing for maintaining righteousness. He maintained justice and he afforded mercy. That one move was the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because God is the judge of justice and he always maintains justice. And he's the God of mercy and grace. And in that move, he punishes all sin from all people for all time on Jesus Christ, which affords mercy to you and me. This is what's behind the verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And in fact, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with God made him. Are you ready? Go. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so what this is saying is that Jesus took on the penalty for breaking righteousness so that you could have the blessing for maintaining righteousness. Though he didn't break righteousness, and though you've never maintained righteousness, it's this unfair cosmic swap, right? It's not right on any level. And yet God has maintained justice, and he affords grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. Romans 3:26 puts it this way. We read it, but I want to read it again. It says, he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just, to maintain justice, and also to be the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. To be justified, right? If you have been justified, that means God now declares you the same as Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Sinless, completely righteous, as though your record was the same as Jesus. That's what it means to be justified. A shorthand way to remember that is justification is that God sees me just as if I've never sinned, just as if I'm righteous, just like Jesus is. And so what Paul is doing in this passage is he's explaining how a person is born again and is welcomed into the kingdom of God. And what his main point is that everyone who puts their faith in Jesus is made righteous through Christ and is now acceptable to God. So the question then becomes, well, how is a person, how are they made right by God? I want to talk about that for just a moment. How is somebody made right by God? Let me tell you two ways you're not made right by God, and then I'll share the way that you are made right by God. You're not made right by God through keeping the religious code or the Old Testament law. You need to know that. You are not made right. You are not acceptable to God because you maintain some religious code or you keep the Old Testament law. How do I know that? Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 makes that really clear. Paul writes this, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And I love that. If, and it can't, right? If righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Here's what I want to say. Even if you could keep all of the Old Testament law, if you could meet God's standard on your own, you would still need faith in Jesus Christ because that's the only way you're made acceptable to God. So there's not like two options, two ways. Like either I keep the law on my own and I can do that, or I put my faith in Jesus. Even if you kept the law, you still need Jesus. Because that is the way, the solution. There's no other pathway. There's no other direction. So you can't be made right with God by keeping religious code or Old Testament law. Here's the other way you can't be made right with God. It's not through family lineage or family heritage. There are no second generation Christians, third, fourth, fifth generation Christians. You were not born a Christian. Let me tell you that. Even if you were born into a Christian family, even if you were baptized as an infant, you are not born a Christian. You are born separated from God. That's why you need to be born again, right? That's John chapter 3, because you're not born a Christian. Every Christian is a first generation Christian. Because you cannot ride on the coattails of your parents or your grandparents or your uncles who is a preacher who married you that one time, right? You cannot do that, right? Everyone starts in unrighteousness. Everyone needs Jesus. Familial lineage and familial heritage matters for nothing when you stand in front of God at the end of your life. Right? It's only faith in Jesus Christ, which leads us to how is someone made right by God or made right with God? Only by faith. Only by faith in Jesus Christ. Right? And it's not only by faith in faith. Well, I believe that I can be right with God. Nope, that's not enough. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can be made right. Look at a couple passages with me. Look at Romans 3:22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Look at verse 25. We read this already. We're reading again. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith, right? Let's look at verse 28. For we maintain that a person is justified just as if I've never sinned, just as if I were the same as Jesus Christ. They are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. You have to understand, you are not made right with God by keeping some moral code that fits your life really well or makes sense to you. The only way that you're made right with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. By the way, it's always been that way. How do I know that? Well, Paul made the point in verse 21. This has been testified to in the Old Testament. It's there. It's all over the place. Let's just look at one passage. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And some of you are going, oh, I always thought that was Habakkuk, right? Okay, but let's stay with me, okay? Don't leave. Let's read this out loud together, starting with but the righteous. Notice this, the righteous. Are you ready? Go. But the righteous will live by in the true God. But the righteous will live by his faith in the true God. This is Old Testament, guys. And we can look back to Abraham. We can look back to Noah. All throughout the Old Testament, this is the way it has always been. And this is the way it will always be. It's you're only made acceptable to God through faith. So what do you do? Because we always land somewhere, right? There's always a response for us here at Lighthouse Community. What's the response? Here it is. It's very simple. Put your faith in Jesus. That's the response. Some of you are going, oh. That's the response. Put your faith in Jesus. And I'm going to tell some of you real quick how to do that. Because some of you guys, you're going, you guys keep saying that. You keep talking about putting your faith in Jesus. You keep talking about believing. What does that mean? How do you do that? I don't know how to do that. I'm going to walk you through how to do that, okay? Three really straightforward steps, but they're not necessarily the easiest, right? They're simple, but they're not easy. Here's the first one. You have to know the truth. Know the truth. That's the first step. You have to know the truth. You have to know that there is a God. You have to know that Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days later, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, right? You have to know those truths. That's step one. In Acts chapter 26, there's a moment where the Apostle Paul is talking with a guy by the name of King Agrippa, and King Agrippa knew the truth about Jesus. And Paul said, right, he goes, King Agrippa, I know that you know these things, but I'm praying that you will believe. It's not enough to know the truth, but that's the starting place. You have to know the truth. And for some of you, your best next step is to simply know truth from Scripture. Read it, right? Read it. Read the Bible. Know who God is. Know what he said about himself. Know what he's revealed about himself. That's your starting place. The reason you can't cross into faith is because you don't know anything about God. And if you don't know truth, how are you going to put your faith in it? So for many of you, your first step is to simply know truth. Here's the second step to putting your faith in Jesus. The second step is understand the truth. You know the truth, and then you understand the truth. You think about it. You wrestle with it. You meditate on it. You struggle with it. You fight with it. You grasp what it means and you think about it. You think about the truth that Jesus claimed to be God. What does that mean? What's behind all of that? What are the ramifications for that? Right? That Jesus made the claim, he's the only way and there's no other way. That on your own, you're separated from God, which means you're separated from life, which leads to eternal death as well. You have to understand the truth. You have to know the truth. You have to understand the truth. By the way, James chapter 2, verse 16, the apostle James writes that demons know the truth about God. They know who he is. They know all the truth about Jesus. They understand the truth about God. They understand the truth about Jesus. And do you know what the response to knowing and understanding the truth is? Yeah, they tremble in fear. That's what James 2:16 says. So it's not enough to know the truth alone. You have to understand it. But knowing it and understanding it's not enough either. You actually have to go a whole nother layer. What's the last layer? You have to trust the truth. You have to know it. You have to understand it so that you can trust it and trust the truth. There's just a moment, and I don't know how to make this any more, to word it any more plainly or more clearly. There is just a moment where you and I had to do this too. Every born-again believer has to do this. There's a moment where you decide this is true. All of it. Not just the parts I like. Not just the parts that align with our culture right now. Not the parts that I can swallow. I'm going to make the decision that this is true. All of it. And I'm going to let God transform my life through that. Right? And part of that trusting, deciding is true, is what we looked at in Ezekiel 33:11, right? It's actually, there's a decision. You actually have to turn away from your sin. You got to turn away from your evil ways. You've got to drop your sin like a bad habit, right? Bye, Felicia, right? Like, I'm gone. I'm out of here. You just let it go. You turn away from it, and you turn to God, and you live. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is helping you all along the way. He's helping you to know the truth. He's helping you to understand it. He's helping you to trust it. Because this is a supernatural work of God. And there are natural things that God invites you to do as a response. This is what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 3. Paul's explaining it for us with amazing clarity. And I want to tell you this. At Lighthouse Community, we work really, really hard to help you know the truth. We work really hard. We pray really hard to help you understand the truth. And if I could, I would like make you trust the truth. But I can't. Not even God does that. He puts all of that in front of you. He leads you all the way to the moment. And there's still a moment where you have to go, yes, I'm in. I get it. I see it. I want it. I want you for the rest of my life, for all of eternity, right? This is something you've got to do. So for some of you, your next best step is to trust the truth, to trust Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this. That will probably be your biggest hurdle. Knowing it, pretty straightforward. Understanding it, also just take some time to think about it. The real crossover moment and the thing that holds most people up is trusting it. That is true. That Jesus really did do all the work necessary for me to be acceptable to God. That's the hang up again and again and again. The only way that you can be made acceptable to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And listen, if your set point is that you have to earn everything you have, that's a major value in our culture. And it's not a wrong culture, but if that's your set point, that I have to earn everything I have, Christianity will not make sense to you. It won't make sense to you. In fact, what you might know it, you might understand it, you might even go, I think I can work with that. What you'll end up doing is you'll twist it And you'll either resist it and go, right, nah, Christianity, that's a myth, that's a fairy tale. Not interested. I don't believe in, that's too easy. Or you'll go the other way and you'll turn Christianity into a transactional religion. But Christianity is not a fairy tale. It's real. It's the realest thing there ever was. And in fact, when you step into it, it makes all the rest of life even more real than you've ever experienced. And Christianity is not a religion either. Christianity is a new life with God that never ends. That's what we're talking about. You got to cross over into trust. And you have to know you can't earn it. It's already been earned. You got to put your faith in Jesus that it's done and it's over. And I want to take just a moment. I want to talk to some of the churched people in the room. When I say church people, like either you've been raised in the church or you've been in the church for years, maybe even decades. As your pastor, I have a genuine concern for that group. And it's this. Is you know the truth, you understand the truth, but you actually believe that you're made right by God because you come here on Sunday morning. You believe that you're acceptable to God because maybe you give financially to this church. You believe that you're acceptable to God because you've spent decades doing the right thing, resisting the wrong thing. I'm making all the right choices. I'm a member of my denomination, man. That's got to count for something. You know how much that counts for? Zero. The Greek term is butkus, right? I think that's what it is. Is it bumpkus? Butkus? I don't know. Whatever it is. I'm not a Greek scholar. Anyways, but listen, here's what I want to say to you. If you've been in the church for a long time and you hear people talking about God living in them, God leading them, growing because God is changing desires within your heart, and you don't have a reference point for that, you don't get that, you don't understand that, number one, you're not alone. Nicodemus was there. He could not wrap his mind around that. His frame of reference was earn it. Work for it. Do right things. Avoid bad things. That's how you're acceptable to God. Number one, you're not alone if you can't wrap your mind around it. Number two, you don't have to stay there. What I want to say to you is this. If you're in that place, it's time for faith. It's not time for work. It's time for faith. It's time for trust. It's time for putting all of your weight that what the Bible says is true, that who Jesus is real, and all of that's real for you, and rejecting and resisting trying to earn it for yourself. In fact, many of you in this room need to repent of earning. That's the thing you need to repent of. That's your sin. Thinking that you can earn it. Thinking that you'll stand before God one day and he'll go, Fritz, you've lived a very good life. Welcome because of what you've done with your life. No. When I stand before the Lord, he'll go, the only reason you're here is because of my son, Jesus. And you trusted him. That's it. That's the only reason. Oh, I have so much more to say about that. Thankfully, we do this every week. Come back next Sunday. We're actually going to talk more about what does it mean not only to be made righteous, but what actually happens when we're declared righteous through Jesus Christ? Because there's all kinds of amazing things that come on the tail end of that. But I want to say this. When you say yes to Jesus and you're made righteous, you will experience real forgiveness. You will enjoy the Spirit of God living inside of you, changing you from the inside out. Today's the day. Today's the day. The only way you can be made acceptable to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We close each teaching with the same question, and that's pretty purposeful. And the question is this, Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him, just you and him. God, my prayer is that you would teach us how to believe. You would teach us how to put our faith in Jesus and then nothing else. and to discover what kind of a life that looks like. We want to pray for you here at Lighthouse Community. And so what's going to happen is the band's going to come up. They're going to lead us in just one more song. During that time, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available kind of in the four corners of the room. We'll have one up here by each TV at the front. We'll have two in the back near the sound booth. You'll kind of know that they're a prayer leader. They'll have a gray badge or lanyard hanging around their neck. And so that's an identifier that they're prepared to pray with you, and they would love to pray with you about literally absolutely anything. And so at any time during this song, you'll just step out of your seat, come down the aisle, head to one of the corners, and our team would absolutely love to pray with you today. And they'll pray with you about absolutely anything, right? Anything at all. And if this is your first time, you don't have to be a member here to receive prayer. And I know sometimes there's kind of like a fear, like what will people think if I go to one of those corners to pray? Most people won't even notice that you go forward, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. A lot of Sundays when I'm not serving as a prayer leader, I'm asking these leaders to pray for me because I got things going on in my life I need prayer for. So it's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed. If you're joining online, there's actually a button right now. You can click on that, and we've got our online host. They would love to pray with you right now as well. So this is something we take really seriously. So I'm going to ask everybody here in the house to stand as we transition into a time of singing, and I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to come to one of these corners and to pray as well. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.